Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today's podcast is called An Eternal Perspective. Now, most of you know I spent 23 minutes in hell in a vision back in 1998. Now, this vision completely changed the course of my life. I never dreamed the Lord would have chosen me for such a unique assignment to warn people about the reality of hell. Now, in these last days, God says in Joel 2:28 and Acts 2:17, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So God is just fulfilling his word in these last days. Now, I was a Christian at the time for 28 years. You know, but the Lord blocked my memory that I was a Christian when I experienced this 23 minutes in hell. And he blocked it for a reason, which I will get to and explain. But you might say, Bill, where's that in the Bible? Well, in Luke 24:16, John 20:14, Luke 18:34, and some other verses explains how God can block something from your mind, and he did from mine. Now, the terror I experienced cannot adequately be expressed in words, you know, but I've endeavored to convey the truth about hell as described throughout the scriptures over these years. Now, I experienced the torment, torture, terror, and absolute hopelessness. But then when Jesus showed up, I experienced absolute thankfulness, overwhelming joy, hope, and desire to worship the Lord. It just flooded me. You know, you see, 1 minute ago, 1 second ago, I was in hell for all eternity in my mind, lost forever. And then God placed it back in my mind that I was a Christian. I wasn't lost. I knew him, and I had hope and the joy of being with him. So I was so, so grateful. You know, I just wanted to worship him. I wanted to stay at his feet and just thank him and worship him. And, you know, it hit me, though, so strongly at his feet that if he wouldn't have gone to the cross, I would be in that place for all eternity. I was so grateful for what he did, giving his life for us at the cross. You know, and this whole experience gave me a greater eternal perspective.
Oh, absolutely, Bill. And, you know, as you said, with faith in Jesus Christ, we always have hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. There's hope if we're still alive. And Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So if you're his child, you have that assurance that he will never leave you or forsake you or will help you in this life, right?
That's right, yes.
And Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised. Proverbs 14:32 also says, the righteous shall have hope in his death. So even when we die, we have hope of our eternal home in heaven.
That's right. It's so important to have hope. You know, like in hell, I said that was the worst part, was experiencing the hopelessness. To know you'll never, ever escape that place was the worst part. So for us in life to have hope is such a wonderful thing. You know, and I know many people have experienced some difficult times in their lives, especially this year. Now, some may feel that they have no hope. Well, perhaps you have lost your job or you're dealing with an illness or have family issues, but Jesus knows and cares deeply for you.
Yes, and I can understand how some people may feel that way, you know, because we live in a physical world, and it definitely takes supernatural help and a supernatural perspective from the Holy Spirit and from God's Word to see past the temporal things and see the unseen, see our situation afresh with an eternal perspective.
That's
right. And I like this scripture, Bill, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever.
Boy, that's good. That's really a good verse.
And then in 2 Corinthians, I like how Paul describes all the things he went through, 2 Corinthians 11. He talks about being in prison, near death often, beaten with rods and stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. And yet he always was thankful, you know, and he never lost hope that Jesus would deliver him.
That's right.
He went through so many things. I think in another verse he calls them a light affliction.
That's amazing. For all the things he's gone through, oh my, that's amazing for him to be able to say that.
So, Bill, why should we, as Christians, why should we be thankful?
Well, number one, that we've been saved from hell. And if you realize how severe hell is, that alone should give you great thanks. You know, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. There's a wrath coming on sin. And also Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. So this wrath is coming on sin, but Jesus paid the punishment for us on the cross so we wouldn't have to experience that wrath. That right there is enough to be thankful besides all the other things God's done. You know, the scripture instructs us to give thanks to God. The Lord doesn't need our thanks, but it's good for us to be thankful. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean everything that happens to us is from God, but despite any unpleasant circumstances, we can thank the Lord for providing for us through our storm. We can thank Him for wisdom, provision, direction, and help. You know, giving thanks also reminds us of how much we do have. It's easy to focus on what we don't have. By giving thanks continually, we are reminded of how much we do have.
That's such a good point. You know, giving thanks to God really does keep our hearts in a right relationship with Him, and it protects our hearts from harmful emotions and attitudes that will rob us of peace, you know, that God gives us as we trust in Him.
Right.
And Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Oh, that's a good verse.
What a powerful promise. You know, we really must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our heart and hurt our relationship with God and with others, no matter what we're going through.
That's right. You know, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. When we begin to give thanks for specific things in our lives, we begin to experience peace and hope. You know, our outlook changes. We must cast all our cares on the Lord, for He cares for us, as 1 Peter 5:7 instructs us to do. You know, ingratitude is a sin, just as surely as lying, stealing, or immorality. You know, the Bible tells us, lost humanity is ungrateful in Romans 1:21. It states, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. Every day, we have a choice to be thankful or grow bitter. Now, depression and discouragement will lift from us as we begin giving God thanks.
So, Bill, really having thanksgiving is a really powerful way to keep an eternal perspective.
It is.
Right? No matter what circumstances we may be going through. And, you know, I like this verse in Romans 5:6-11, that we can be thankful because the Lord died for us.
That's right.
And it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?
Oh, that's good. I like that verse too. You know, another reason we can be thankful for is he's preparing a home for us in heaven. John 14:2, he says he goes to prepare a place for us. So we have an eternal home. You know, we're all going to die one day and we'll be out of here. This life is really short, but here we have an eternal home. We can be with him forever in heaven, along with our loved ones that also have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
And didn't the Lord show you that, Bill, during your vision about how life short, how short life was?
He did. I saw a little puff of smoke up like a tea kettle, and I said, Lord, what's that? And he said, that's your life. I said, that's it. It was so short. And you know, it says life is but a vapor, James 4:14. So that's how quick our life goes by. Even though it might seem long to us, it's short compared to eternity. But God has a home for us that will last for all eternity. You know, Revelation 21:4 says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. That's so true. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him.
Love that, yes. And then Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So if you are a Christian, you can call on the Lord to help you. And if you don't know the Lord, you too can call on him right now to forgive you of all your past failures and sin, heal your heart, fill you with hope, and receive his eternal life.
You know, if you're out there and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. So I just ask you to pray this prayer from your heart. Say this. Say, dear God in heaven, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, that he was buried and rose from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus' blood cleanses me from all sin. Jesus alone makes me worthy to be in God's family. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and empower me to follow you. Thank you. I declare I am a born-again Christian going to heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, praise God. If you prayed that prayer, then go tell somebody what you've done. You know, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That is cause to celebrate. That's the wisest decision you could ever make.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.